need, and you are a part of it. You are the church. We are all part of the building blocks that make up the church, and it is glorious because our Lord Jesus Christ is glorious, and he has made us glorious by his grace through the shedding of his blood upon the tree of Calvary, and that we might know him and have eternal life, and I trust you do know him. I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Also, thank you ladies for playing the pianos this morning. We appreciate the good job you do. We appreciate that. Even though our song leader messes up, you're good. You act like it doesn't matter. You just pretend, oh, that's just Royce. There he goes again, right? Good job. I appreciate Royce. And I don't know that he's a substitute. I think you graduated into the full-time song leader. And he won't admit that. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which is hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in your word this morning. May Jesus Christ be exalted. May we love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And may we serve you faithfully. Help us to walk with you. Lord, I pray you'll bless your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. May you be glorified in each of our lives, Lord. Thank you so much for your grace. We are surely not worthy of any of your goodness, but you lavish your goodness and grace upon us because you love us, Lord, and we don't understand that because we know how unlovely we are and how undeserving we are. We also know that's what grace is, your gift of life to those who do not deserve it, cannot earn it, cannot buy it, but we can by faith receive it. And I pray for anyone this morning who may not know Christ as their Savior, that they would trust you before it's eternally too late. We ask your blessing now. Lean, guide us. Help me as I preach, Lord. Help us all as we listen and apply your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week, we talked about why we fail to live a life of holiness. And some of the reasons was our attitude towards sin is self-centered, not God-centered. We have the wrong attitude towards sin. It's all about ourselves instead of how sin affects God. Secondly, we've misunderstood living by faith. We don't really understand what it is to live by faith. And thirdly, we don't take sin seriously. That's why we fail to live a life of holiness. We don't take sin seriously. God has called every single Christian to a life of holiness. You are no exception. If you are a Christian or you claim Christ as your Savior, God has called you, I mean you, to a life of holiness. There are no exceptions. Every single Christian, the preacher, the Christian farmer, the Christian office worker, the Christian carpenter, plumber, housewife, assemblyman, worker, prisoner. I hope we don't have prisoners in our midst this morning. Because if you are, we need to arrest you and take you back to prison, right? But the Christian prisoner is to live a life of holiness. The teacher, the financial advisor, the banker, the postal clerk, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, save for 40 years or 4 days. You are holy, God says. So because you are holy, be holy. You are a Christian, then live like one, right? If we name the name of Christ, then live like Christ. Why? Why is it that we're to be holy? The Bible says because God is holy. We're to be holy because God is holy. And that's what our passage says. He requires we be holy because He is holy. He has called us to be like Him. He has not called us to be like those all around us. That's a pretty low bar. That's a pretty poor standard. Well, at least I'm as good as him or her, or I'm living the Christian life, maybe even a little better than him or her. No, it's where are we in our relationship with God? God is our standard, right? Be like himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the very character of God. Being conformed to the character, to the likeness of God. When we say God is holy, we mean that he is absolutely separate from and exalted above all his creatures and all moral evil and sin. In Old Testament times, God wanted to be known by his holiness more than any other of his attributes. We read in Isaiah. Let me just read some verses. Isaiah, you can jot these down. Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Isaiah 12:6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah 29:19, the Holy One of Israel. 29:23, the Holy Ones of Jacob. Isaiah 43:15, I am the Lord, your Holy One. Over and over, I am holy, I am holy, I am holy. And Hosea 11:9, I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. Yes, right in the midst of us is the Holy One. I want to talk this morning about three things we should learn from the fact that God is holy. And I believe I have the outline in the bulletin somewhere. I don't know where it's at, but somewhere in the bulletin. Three things we should learn from the fact that God is holy. Number one, first of all, there is a chasm between God and man. There's a chasm, there's a deep pit, there's a great gulf fixed between our God and between you and me. Joshua said in Joshua 24:19, he said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. I mean, we're in trouble. God says, you can't serve the Lord. He will not forgive you. Now he's talking about in their natural condition, apart from God's grace. They cannot serve him, and he cannot forgive you. Therefore, we ought to appreciate the fact that we can now serve him, and we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 47:8, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. He's on the throne. It's a throne of holiness. It's an absolutely perfect and holy throne. Hosea 11:9, I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. And Habakkuk 1:12 and 13, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. God looks on the world, and he can't see it. He can't look upon it, because he is holy, and this world is not. We are not. There is a chasm. There is a chasm between man and God. Secondly, we learn from the fact that God is holy that man must approach God through the merits of another if he is to approach him at all. We must approach God through the merits of someone else if we're going to be able to approach him. You see, man doesn't have it in himself to approach God. It would require that we be sinless. We need sinlessness in our lives to get to God. And man cannot become sinless and holy. But Christ has come, and he has made access to God possible. Christ, the sinless one, was made sin for us, for you, for me. He is my sin bearer. He is my sin sacrifice. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. We have access because of Jesus Christ, the sinless one, who was made sin for us. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason for the atonement was God's holiness. And what his holiness demanded, his love provided. So we learn that there is a chasm between God and men. We learn that we must approach God on the merits of another. And thirdly, we should approach God with reverence and godly fear. Look at Hebrews 12. If you didn't already turn to Hebrews, I should have had you turn there earlier. But Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire because he's holy. He's holy because he's a consuming fire. I think both may be true. And so let us have grace, all for grace. How can we approach this holy God except by grace? And we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The holiness of God is the most beautiful doctrine of Scripture. The thought of it ought to thrill our souls. It ought to give us great joy and comfort to know about the holiness of God. Because since he is holy, we know that all his thoughts and his doings toward us are absolutely perfect and right. They're just right. Whatever God brings into my life or allows to come into my life is perfect. It's perfect every time, everything. They're just right. God treats us perfectly, perfectly fair and just and right. It would be absolutely impossible for us to be treated any better by God. Right now, you cannot be treated any better by God than you are now. That's a wonderful thought. But he's a wonderful God, and he loves me with an everlasting love. His grace is lavished upon me. Sometimes we're tempted to question God's action and complain that he isn't fair to us. That's the devil's lie. And the devil will tell us that lie as often as he can. And the same thing, the same thing that he did to Eve. He told Eve, God is being unfair to you. In Genesis 3, 4, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that was a lie of the devil. But it's impossible in the very nature of God that he should ever be unfair to you. He is holy, and all his actions are holy, every one of them. We don't always understand it. In fact, many, many, many times we don't understand it. But we know he's a God of love. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of grace. God understands it all, and I'm content with that. I'm content with that. He cannot be unfair to you and me. He is holy, and all his actions are holy. Holiness is a perfection of all of his other attributes. Holiness, someone said, is God's crown. His power is holy power. Aren't you glad it's holy power? His mercy is holy mercy. His wisdom is holy wisdom. His love is holy love. And because God is holy, he cannot tempt us to sin. Because he's holy, he hates sin. Now, you and I may play around with sin and excuse our sin. I don't know about you, but I'm really good at that. I am almost perfected making up excuses for sin and disobedience. I got to do something, right? Yeah, that something is go take it to Jesus Christ. You see, but we may play with sin, excuse our sin, but God hates it. And he hates our lustful thoughts and our pride and jealousy and temper. We get used to sin, but God never gets used to sin. He always hates sin. And how we need to cultivate in our own hearts that same hatred, that holy hatred, if you will, for sin. God's standard for us is a very high standard, a perfect standard, but it is one that he holds us to. For he says, be holy, for I am holy. That's a command, not a suggestion. And we need to take it seriously if we're going to grow in holiness. In other words, holiness is for every believer. Holiness is for you. Look at Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, nobody is going to see God. Nobody. You see, holiness is not an option. It's not a take it or leave it proposition. It's not something we decide to do or be whenever we get the notion or get around to it. Because without holiness, no one is going to see the Lord. In other words, no holiness, no heaven. No holiness, no heaven. And everyone that's talking about going to heaven ain't going there, the saying goes. Show me a man who says he's saved and is living a life of sin, and I'll show you a man who's going to hell. He's going to hell. Show me a man who claims to have been born again and yet shows no evidence of a spiritual life, doesn't read his Bible, doesn't pray. He wants the world. He loves the world. In other words, there's been no change in that life. I'll show you a man who is as lost as a dog. My apologies to the good dogs in this land. But he's lost. He's headed for hell. Say, but he says he's saved. He's not living it. Not living it. When God saves a man, he saves him from sin. He doesn't dust him off and send him back to his old life, back to the slop. Look how many people I've met over the years and say they're saved. There's been no change. I think, I don't understand that. And when God saved me, I mean, he worked me over. He changed me. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I don't need to confess my sin. Doesn't mean I don't need God's forgiveness. I need it all the time. But when God saves a man, he makes him new. He gives him a new heart, new desires, a new love. He cleanses him and changes him and makes him holy. And God does the changing. It's got to be God that does it. It's a work of God's grace that makes us new creatures, a new creation. It's all of grace through faith. But faith in God's saving power, true faith means I no longer have faith in Terry Post. That's gone. Or in the world. Or in all that I can do. It's that I've repented. I've turned from the old and turned to Christ. That's salvation. That's a new creature. That's a new creation. And when God truly saves a man, that man's life will be different. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. God transforms that man or that woman, that young person. And that change will be evidenced by his life. It's now a life of holiness. It's just holy living, being separated from sin, saying no to sin and yes to Christ. This easy believism stuff today is not of the Bible. It's a man's doing, man's working. Some say all you got to do is believe and nothing else matters. You just got to believe. Well, yes, I believe that you got to believe. But say nothing else matters is hogwash. That's a lie from hell. Your whole life matters. Every thought, every word, every deed matters. It matters to God, it ought to matter to you and me. All is to be marked by holiness. No, not sinless perfection. Maybe we can say sinless direction. I used to be friends with a gentleman who believed you can lose salvation and didn't believe in this once saved, always saved. But he said, I don't believe in sinless perfection. I believe in Christian perfection. Okay, maybe there's a difference. But I think sinless direction, our desire is to live a life without sin. We're going in that direction. We're not perfect by any means, but we've got people, or we know of people, we have people with the attitude that they're living in adultery and they think they're going to heaven. They're living in adultery and they call themselves Christians. That doesn't work. That's not biblical. God says adulterers and fornicators God will judge in Hebrews 13:4. That's what God's word says. There are those who have put their rose-colored glasses on and now see drunkenness, drinking, getting drunk as a choice for the Christian, as liberty for the Christian. But who is the judge? God is the judge. And God declares that drunkard shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Somebody says, well, I don't get very drunk. One drink and you're inebriated. One drink. And for some people, one drink is all they need to be a danger on the highway and be a problem in their home. One drink. I need two or three drinks. Well, two or three beers. Better to stay away from it, right? If you must drink and drive, drink Pepsi. If you must drink, drink Coca-Cola. Drink the good stuff. It's good for you compared to that. God declares that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And now, can adultery, we call it having an affair. Can having an affair, drunkenness, alcoholism, pornography be called holiness? Some call it sickness. No, it's not sickness. It's not a disease. It's sin. It's sin. And yet, we try to justify it. No, we cannot call it holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And if I'm living a life that's unclean, that's not God's call. We'd better take sin seriously and take seriously the necessity of personal holiness. And I'm speaking to Terry Post this morning. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he comes to make us holy in practice. And if there's not then at least a yearning in our hearts to live a holy life, pleasing to God, we need to question whether or not our faith in Jesus Christ is the genuine thing. Is it genuine? Am I genuine in my faith and my walk? Look at Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed, I'll give you time to find it. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, or every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that in order that, we might say, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The whole purpose of our salvation is that we be holy and blameless. He's chosen us before the world began that we should be holy. So are we? Are we living up to that expectation from God? That which God has given us? To go on living in sin is to go contrary to God's very purpose in our salvation. One writer of a few years ago, well, actually 3 centuries ago, put it this way. What a strange kind of salvation do they desire that care not for holiness? They would be saved by Christ and yet be out of Christ in a fleshly state. They would have their sins forgiven, not that they may walk with God in love in time to come, but that they may practice their enmity against him without any fear of punishment. Well, I'm saved, so I can live for the world. I just won't go to hell. That's my attitude. There's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. What kind of salvation do I have? What kind of salvation do you have this morning? Can it possibly be that your salvation is of your own making? Could it be that you have reformed? Now, I'm all for reformation. I'm all for New Year's resolutions. Now's a good time to check up on our New Year's resolutions. We're talking about something more than a New Year's reformation or resolution or a weekly or monthly, or maybe in the beginning of each month you make new resolves. Things are going to be different this month. And then we always fall down, don't we? Well, maybe you've reformed, maybe you've turned over a new leaf and you've cleaned up your act, but you've never possessed the essential requirement for eternal life and the hope of heaven, the very life of God. That's the question. Do you have God? Is God living in you? Does Christ dwell in your heart by faith? Or are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God through faith in him? If there's no change in your life, then I question whether you have been. You prayed a prayer, but did you actually give your life to Jesus Christ? Did you receive him as your Savior? Maybe you've never been transformed. You've never been born again. You've never been made holy. But you say, I'm saved and I know I'm a believer. I know God lives within. I've been made holy. Wonderful. Then I trust you are pursuing holiness. Are you? Is your life marked by holy living? Is there a difference? Has there been a change? Do you love God? Do you love his word? Do you pray? Do you talk about the Lord with others? Has there been a change in your life? God demands holiness in your life and mine as a believer. Be holy, for I am holy. There's no questions. There's no argument. We can't say, well, I don't understand that. Of course we don't. But we can obey it. We can obey it. Holiness means separation from sin. I'm separated from sin. I'm separated to God. I was going this way. I've turned around and I'm going this way and living a holy life, a life marked by the principles of God and his word, Jesus Christ. His standard is high. Be holy for I am holy. His demand is clear. His standard is high. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5. How can we have fellowship with him if we continue to walk in darkness? We can't. If we continue to practice sin, we're liars then. We're hypocrites. Maybe it's time that we consider our ways. Consider your ways, the prophet said. It's time to examine ourselves and be sure we're in the faith. Will you? Will you begin to view your sin as sin against a holy God instead of a personal defeat only? That's our problem. We say, well, I've failed, and man, I've just made a mess of my life, and I'm having a hard time now. We ought to think, how is this affecting God? How does God see my life? Instead of trying to be victorious, We need to aim at being obedient. God will give the victory in His way and His time. My job is just to obey and then let God bring the victory. I just get on that road of duty and I'm headed for that celestial city. And along the way, God may give me flowers to enjoy along the way and comforts and blessings. But I stay on the road of duty and I leave those blessings with Him. When you've seen your responsibility as putting forth great effort in being holy. When you call sin, sin, no matter how small it may be. I mean, it's just a tiny sin. It's just a tiny thing. I mean, God doesn't care about that. When you see the majesty and holiness of the one whom you so sin against, will you obey God in all areas of your life? Yeah. Talking to me as well, believe me. Not just the big areas, but the little areas. Will you do that? Will you give Him your all? Will you lay all on the altar? For Jesus Christ, He died for you. He paid the price of your sin. How then can I go back to sin? How can I not go forward and live a life pleasing to Him, a life that is holy, acceptable in His sight? God help us to do that. We can. By His grace, we can. By His grace, we must. We must. We only have this life, and we don't have much time. We don't have much time. Eternity is approaching. It's going to be here before we know it. For some, it may be here today. It may be tomorrow that God will take us to be with Him. Do you know Him? Will you be with Him? Will you go to be with Him in heaven? Or will your fate be eternal hell? You need Christ. If you want heaven, you've got to have Christ as your Savior. Because God will not let sin into heaven. And if He sees Jesus in you, He sees righteousness and true holiness. But apart from Jesus, our life is not acceptable before God. Give your heart to God. Give it all to Him. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together in Your Word. Thank You for this admonition to be holy even as You are holy, to be righteous, to be godly, to love Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then to love others as ourselves as well, as ourselves, love others as well. Thank You, Lord, that we can, by Your grace. And we can be holy. We can live the life we ought to live. We don't need to live in defeat. We can live a victorious life, for we know You will give us that if we just be obedient and do what You want us to do. And thank You so much, Lord. And it's for all of us, every Christian, every believer here. Help us, Lord, to obey You and know Your joy and Your peace. And just Your love. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us. And I pray You'll work in our hearts now, even as we close. May Your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.